Hello and welcome to Money Matters. My name is Jennifer Stone, and joining me today is Mike Gilson. We are financial advisors with Petso Financial, obviously filling in for Dave today so we can go off and enjoy a little golf. We've got a lot to cover, so we are doing a recording instead of being live. Next week, he should be back live, and we should be good to go. Welcome, Mike.
Thank you, Jennifer. Happy to be here.
So last weekend was Roby Creek, correct?
Yes, and we had beautiful weather and a great crowd. So thank you to all the volunteers, and I recommend anyone who wants to do it next year should definitely get there and sign up.
Perfect. I've always thought about it, and then everybody warns me that your toenails fall off, so I thought, maybe not me.
No toenails falling off, but definitely I dumped a lot of water on my head to stay cool. It was a hot one.
It's crazy, too, when you think, but when you're running that far, of course it's going to be hot, whether just standing around. We thought it was a little cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, let's get on to the financial side here. It's interesting to me that this year, last year, the market's done fairly well, but we've had some volatility. So people are starting to focus again on protecting themselves from a correction that's naturally to happen every year of our lives.
It's interesting, too, when you look at it, we're really not that far off of where we were 2 years ago now. We did go through a correction in 2022, and we've been just roaring back up. But when you look at it long term, we're actually in a pretty good spot right now, I think.
Yeah. And corrections are natural. I'm going to steal from Dave because we've talked about this a lot recently. Everyone tries to predict what will happen, and that's impossible. But we all agree. We all have the same opinion that we're going to continue to have corrections, and we shouldn't be fearful of those.
Yeah, exactly. And I also like to always mention that it's what we don't know and don't expect which moves the market. When COVID happened in 2020, funny enough, I was actually on a vacation in Hawaii when the news broke that it started. Nobody was expecting a disease to go across the entire world, and that moved the markets.
Mm-hmm. It did. And the funny thing, though, about that year is the market went straight down, but then it ended positive by the end of the year. Who would have ever thought that you could have that big of a downturn and then still recover and be ahead at the end?
Yep, you just can't time it.
Nope, and that's why we don't, and that's why we have this show. It's an interesting, we want to cover a bunch of stuff today, so bear with us. This is my spring cleaning episode where we go into all the details of what you need to do to be thinking forward. But one of the main things that I'm asked all the time is, why do we do this? I had a couple really interesting phone calls with clients this week. One was a spouse that has, her husband struggled with health issues for a long time, and he is the majority of the financial stuff. He does it all. So she said, I don't know what I don't know. What do I ask? Where do I start? How do I begin to build that foundation going forward? So part of what we're always doing is trying to address questions and thoughts that you may have that you're too afraid to ask because you're intimidated by sounding, maybe dumb is the word to use, no dumb questions here, or you're afraid to know what you don't know.
Yeah, I always like to look at our role and just say, what are we first and foremost? We're educators. What do I enjoy doing? I enjoy teaching people to be comfortable with their finances and understand that they're on a track that will be successful in the future.
Mm-hmm. And it's intimidating. I know. I know that when I sit down and talk to someone who's never invested before, they have no idea that when you buy a stock, it isn't gambling, it's investing, it's ownership in the great corporations of the world. And that should be exciting. I always say, if someone walked up to you and said, you can be an owner of Apple, and all you have to do is not pay attention to the volatility or the price movement, but you get to profit when they do well, you get to watch and grow your wealth, and you're an owner. You're an owner of the greatest corporation in the world. People would just stop for a second and say, sign me up, right?
Absolutely.
But they don't. Instead, they look at that price movement daily, and they don't look at the long term.
Yeah, when the market starts to go down for the first time, they get scared and say, what did I just do? And they get out, when they should just be accepting the volatility and actually putting more in over time. I always say, never going to try to time the market. If I make a Roth IRA contribution, instead of doing it once a year and trying to find the low part, I'll just put it in every single month on the first of the month. It's called dollar cost averaging, and it's a good way to feel comfortable with the market because I know I'm never going to get the best price, but I'm never going to get the worst price either.
Mm-hmm. And the worst price sometimes is really good. So, and like Mike's saying too, dollar cost averaging through 401ks, any of those things, it takes away the thought. We'll dive into that more in our housekeeping after the first hour. But if you think about really what you're looking at is, if I don't have to make a decision every month to put that $50 away or that $100 or whatever the number is, it just happens, then you are going to be buying low at some points. You may buy a little higher at others, but averaging the cost out does work over the long term.
Yep, and making sure you're reinvesting everything into the account too. My least favorite holding is cash.
Yep, even though it pays 5% when you think about it on right now, but it hadn't in the past, right?
Yeah.
And that's if it's a money market, not just cash.
Yeah, it's exactly what I was going to say, is that cash in your checking account is probably earning almost zero. You really need to make sure if you want that safe money, which if you have goals like to buy a car or a boat, or you have an expense coming up in the next 1 to 2 years, you do want to be safer with that money, but you have to make sure it's in a high yield saving or a money market to at least get that interest rate. Because if it's just sitting in your checking account, you're most likely earning nothing.
Yeah. Dave and I had a conversation the other day and he said, would you ever turn away a free meal every month? And you start to think about that. What he was saying is, if you're getting interest on your cash because you've put it in something that pays you, that could equivalent quite a bit per month. But even if you just look at it being one meal free on the interest your bank pays you, would you ever give that up?
I wouldn't.
So that's what we're going to talk about a little bit more, as well as, you know, a couple major life-changing events happen. And those are getting married, finding that person that you want to spend the rest of your life with, even if you don't get married, but trying to determine how you merge your finances. We deal with that a lot. Next steps in life. How do you buy a house in this environment? I mean, I'm going to let Mike speak to that a lot next hour too, because it's quite tricky.
Yeah, it's, I mean, for, I'm younger, I'm in my 30s, and it is a really tough environment to buy a house. I mean, interest rates and just home prices in general, supply and demand dynamics have made house prices incredibly expensive, and interest rates have just doubled that.
So you'll find out soon enough as we go through this. This is the stuff that we kind of get a little geeky about, and that's helping people find ways to do things that they never thought they could. Sitting down with a client 10 years after they first met with us, or they finally get to that retirement phase or whatever it is, and because they did the small things today, they're set for the future. It's very rewarding. That's a lot of why we do this. Also getting into budgeting, and if you get to the point where you can give easily, there's so many things. Or sitting down with a friend and they've got their first high paying job and they're, I don't even know where to start. Those little things matter.
That's one of the reasons I got into this industry, is I just love helping people realize their future goals, whether it's going on that dream vacation, getting their kids through college, whatever it is. Being able to sit down with someone and work on a financial plan year after year and then get them to that finish line is rewarding, not only for them, but for us as well.
And you know, the interesting thing that about once is trying to time the market, trying to figure out what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day, or as some people like to always throw out there, the Wall Street casino. I feel so bad about people that listen to that because, you know, it's not a casino. I'm not a gambler. I really honestly am not. People really enjoy it, and that's great. Personally, I like to get something. If I give something, that's just me, and it's not entertainment. So when people say that what I do is gambling, it's very frustrating because we don't do that. We buy, we invest, we make plans, we help people create wealth.
Yeah. Investing and gambling are two completely different things. I think the rise of Robin Hood and the Reddit Wall Street Bets really got a bad name for investing because people were taking extreme risks on their money and using what we call options trading and being in an area that they really shouldn't be and risking not only small assets, but actually doing that in retirement funds. They're risking their retirement for either a home run or an out, and it's more likely an out.
And the bad thing about that too is it's damaging because now you don't think this works because you tried it. You listened to people that you thought were smart. You didn't feel like you were gambling. And all of a sudden, like you said, you're out and it didn't work. And now you're like, I'm never doing that again. I'm going to buy a rental. I'm going to buy something tangible because the market doesn't work. See, I tried it and it didn't work.
How many people have we seen that said they were invested in 2008 when the market went down 40 or 50%, they got out and never got back in?
Yep. Those are very, very damaging. And of course, diversification helps. We'll touch on that as well. But when the market is in really a very, in a lot of turmoil and there's a lot of stuff going on, everything works together. So when you say these classes aren't correlated and then we create products that will fix what happened, again, it doesn't work because what has happened won't happen again, never does. And as well as when things are really hurt and things are really scary, like in COVID, everything got hit. But that doesn't mean you stop. One of the best investments we ever saw was when somebody took a chance and invested the day after the bottom, which Dave did through a structured product. We're not going to get in the weeds here, but when you think about what it did by taking that chance, changed financial futures again. And that's what we do.
Yeah, staying in. If you sell out at the bottom, you will never financially recover. You have to stay in. And we always say this, if at the end of the day, the entire financial market collapses and all of your accounts go to zero, well, Elon Musk's accounts, Jeff Bezos' accounts, everyone's accounts just went to zero at that same time.
Yep, you're right. You're right. All right, we do need to take a quick break. We tend to get going and can't stop ourselves, but we do need to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome back to Money Matters. Jennifer Stone and Mike Gilson sitting in with me today. We are certified financial planners with Petso Financial, and we're filling in for Dave so that he can enjoy a nice long weekend. Today, we're going to talk a lot about, I like to call it spring cleaning. I think spring cleaning, kind of like finance and fitness, everything can be start fresh at different times in life. This is one that we feel is another time to come in and say your taxes were done, all of this stuff was done, and we're now looking into the summer where people don't pay any attention to their finances because they're on break. So first of the year, end of the year, and spring cleaning is when people tend to really look at this. So since we have a little bit shorter of a segment right now to finish, we wanted to talk about budgeting. Budgeting can be big problems for some people. It can be easy for other people, but I go back to this again. Mike is a fitness guy as well. If you have goals, you have objectives set, and you make a plan for them, you'll meet them. But if you walk into a gym and you look around and you have no idea what to do, you're going to turn around and walk out. So same thing with finance, right? If you don't know where to start, you're not going to do it. So we try to create really easy ways to budget. I'm going to let Mike explain his way, and then we'll go into other ways. But this one works really well for most people.
Yeah, I'm a numbers guy, but I'll keep this one a little bit easier. It's called a 70-20-10 budget. And this is what I started off of when I graduated and started work for the first time, is I set this up, which is 70% expenses, 20% put-take account. And what a put-take account is going out to dinner, going to the movie theaters. It's for the fun life expenses like vacations. And then 10% retirement. And what ended up happening when I started this 70-20-10 is I actually had extra money from my expenses. So where should I put that, right, Jennifer?
Yep.
Into retirement. So now my budget more looks like 60% expenses, 20% put take, and 20% retirement.
And there's absolutely nothing wrong with increasing the last two and decreasing your expenses. This is a baseline to start. A lot of people like to do the envelope system. And if you have a really, really hard time budgeting and you fill up your envelope at the beginning of every month with what you're going to spend, and when it's gone, you're done. that works for you, that's great. If you do it virtually, that works too. However, I want you not to fail. That's the biggest thing. I want you to plan for expenses that are coming. We used to hear all the time, I was great until Christmas happened. Well, one thing I can tell you is Christmas is the same day every year. If you set aside a little bit for Christmas in your put and take account, it'll be there and you can have a better Christmas because you don't worry about charging it.
And I mean, life happens too, but there are some things that you know will happen, right? If you are a homeowner, you look outside and you say, man, my roof is starting to get pretty old. You can start planning for that replacement in the next 3 or 5 years instead of it being an immediate fix.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. People always want to jump right into home ownership as quickly as they can. I agree. It's great to own a place. However, you also need to look at it and say, if I don't have a lot of reserves built up and something breaks, it's now on you. If you need a new sprinkler system, or if you have higher water expenses than you were planning for, or something breaks, you don't get to call someone that comes in and fixes it for free. Now it's all on you. So you want to be sure that you are really ready to buy. And that's why if you can cut your expenses now, put more in that 20% put and take for future expenses, then you don't have to worry about debt. Debt kills us, especially now with interest rates as high as they are. We've seen credit cards at over 20% interest. You'll never pay that off.
Never.
And you don't want to live on payments. Who wants to live on making payments, right? You want to live free. And that's what creating a strict budget does. Even if initially it feels restrictive, it does make you freer in the future.
And going through your budget also really makes you realize there are some things that you might be paying for that you're not even using anymore. So why pay for something that you don't get joy or use out of?
Yep, absolutely. Check those subscriptions. All right, we need to take a break and we'll be right back. Hello, welcome back to Money Matters. Jennifer Stone and Mike Gilson filling in for Dave Pezzo today. This is a recording. As I'm sure you probably figured out by now, we are not live, but we plan to be back next week. I'm fairly certain Dave will be back in the studio and anxious to answer any questions. However, if you do have them during the week, feel free to email us through our websites, pezzofinancial.com. We're always checking. We're always open to answer questions then as well. Because as Mike mentioned in the first of the hour, it's about education. That's what we're here to do. We went through a lot of different experiences in life. We've all found this field naturally, I think. We feel that we have the heart of almost counseling too, right? People talk about all the time, what is AI going to do to your business? I have no idea because every day I'm blown away by what it does do. However, the personal touch that we feel for our clients, the responsibility, the satisfaction, everything that we do that's very specific to each person, I don't think you can change that.
I don't either. I think the investing aspect of it might be influenced more by AI, but the personal aspect, being able to look somebody in the eye, shake their hand, and really trust that they're doing what's in their best interest all the time, is something that you really can't replace by a robot.
You can't, and it is amazing too. A couple people, again, I like to share the stories that we have just because it makes it real. And you realize as people age and they go through the planning process and they watch and they work with you and they bring their family in and then you get to know their kids and you help them be educated, it can change legacy for life. I mean, you can just set up your entire family for a whole different future by just doing the small things today.
Making a plan, and then what is our primary goal? It's to take that burden off of your shoulders. You don't want to be worrying about every nickel and dime in retirement. You want to be having fun, going on trips, seeing family, being with your grandchildren, not worrying about the spreadsheets and the dollars and pennies.
Let us do that. We like that. So that's why we're doing this spring cleaning episode today, and we're going to dive into a lot of topics. So if we don't cover something clearly, like I said, reach back out. If not, call Dave next week and he'll dive into it as well. We covered budgeting, I think, fairly well. I just wanted to add one more thing because we did have to take a break. If you go through your credit card statement and really look at what you're spending money on, look at those subscriptions. How many Hulus, Paramounts, all those different programs do you need? Do you watch them all? How many did you sign up for and just say it's only a couple dollars a month? total that up and see what you're spending. There could be your $50, $100 to add to a Roth.
Absolutely. And Jennifer and I talk about this all the time, is the nice thing about subscription services is you can cancel them at any time. So what I personally do is I'll watch Netflix for 3 or 4 months, watch everything I want to, cancel it, and then move to Hulu and watch what's new on there for the next few months. So you don't need to have multiple going at the same time. You can add and cancel freely.
And watch too, because I agree with Mike 100%. It was funny, we thought we're all going to cut the cord and save money, right? Remember when everybody dropped the plug-in cable satellite TV and went to the subscription? I think you'd be shocked if you total those up. You might be paying more than before you cut the cord. So watch those. Make sure that they make sense for you. Dive into the small numbers and don't feel like it's only $5 a month, because then it's $60 a year. And then, oh, well, I got 10 of them and you're at $600 a year. It becomes real money as you start adding it up, right? So please look at the details, okay? And again, I was using round numbers. I can do math. So anybody that did that, I did that on purpose. So anyways, now let's dive into a couple of things. Budgeting's done. Let's talk about funding Roth IRAs and IRAs. Roth is magic money.
Yes, it is, especially when you're younger. We always talk about the compounding of money. Your money doubles every 7 to 10 years. Well, when you start when you're 20 or 30 years old, that's a lot of doubles.
And cutting off the last double is the big one, right? When you have $1,000 becoming two, it doesn't really make feel like you're making any progress. But all of a sudden, at age 45, 50, you've got $1 million. The next 7 to 10 years, if you get 10% versus 7, you go from $1 million to $2 million. That's pretty amazing.
That's life-changing money.
It is. So don't give up those last doubles.
But you have to start small to get there.
Yes. I know you've heard this so many times, but I'm going to say it again. You take $5 a day, $150 a month. That's a cup of coffee a day. You invest it in an index fund, mirrors the S&P. We've done the math on this. First of all, when I found out over 40 years, I knew this, but it didn't click until I really saw the numbers. $72,000 on coffee. Do you like coffee that much? I don't.
I love coffee. I drink it every morning, but I don't love it $72,000 enough.
You know, our nice coffee pot here that everyone teases us about, I think we've had it for probably 10 years. It's like a Mr. Coffee coffee pot. Makes the best coffee ever because we don't pay for it. Dave provides it. It's great. So you look at that and you say, okay, now what if you put that $150 in the market like we talked about? It would grow to over $1 million over 40 years. $150 a month, right? So don't say you can't do it. Even if you cut that in half and take 3 cups of coffee you have to buy and just cut it in half. Think about that compounding.
It's a beautiful thing. And another good way to do that is in your 401k or your IRA account, just bump up your contributions a little bit each year. If you get a raise, if you get a bonus, just bump it up 1% even. It makes a world of a difference.
It does. And something that employers are doing now that I really like is the opt-out instead of opt-in. So when you go to work for a new employer, very first thing you should do, of course, after you negotiate, you get everything in place, is really look at those benefits and know when you're able to start contributing or if they're going to opt you in automatically when you can. That opt-in is wonderful because then you never miss the money. It starts contributing right away, but make sure you're investing it too. That's a step two.
And I always think that for finance, you should understand the different types of money that you can invest in. So there's pre-tax money, which means when you contribute into that, you get a tax deduction for the year that you contribute. That money grows through your lifetime. But in retirement, when you decide to draw out of that pre-tax or traditional IRA account, it's fully taxable as income at that time. Roth money works the opposite. When you put that money in, you pay taxes on the front end. It grows over your lifetime. When you decide to take it out, what you put in and all of their growth comes out completely tax-free. So everybody is in a different tax situation, but typically what we see is younger people should be taking advantage of that Roth money.
couple things to add, and Mike will of course cover this too, but I'm going to step in real quick. Is there always qualifying things, income qualifications as well as distribution qualifications? So make sure you understand the rules and what you're investing in, because you do have to meet age requirements to take the money out of that Roth tax-free without penalty on the earnings, all of that. But that's going into the weeds. We don't need to do that right now. What we're talking about is you can defer paying tax till later by doing pre-tax options and saying, I'm anticipating I will be in a lower bracket. You can do Roth money, which means pay it now, like Mike said, and then anticipate you may be in a higher bracket. So me, back to that we talk about all the times, I'm not going to predict tax rates either, because more than likely over the next 30, 40, 50 years, they're going to be higher and they're going to be lower at some point. So what you want to do is own some of everything, right? So that if you are in a higher bracket, you have Roth money. If you're in a lower bracket, you have pre-tax money. So there's a lot of different ways to budget for this.
Yep. I love when people have both buckets of money, because then you really can get the lowest effective tax rate that possible by balancing what you take when.
And also understand that there are different rules to pass money on to heirs too. So understand how that works. We'll dive into that a little bit when we touch barely on estate planning, because we're not attorneys. We just like to touch it a little bit. But in the meantime, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Hello and welcome back to Money Matters. Jennifer Stone and Mike Gilson filling in for Dave Pezzo today. As always, thank you for listening. We really enjoy doing this. It is a recording, of course. I wish I would be live so that we could take phone calls. We miss talking to Jim, obviously, and Terry. So we'll be back next week. So feel free to call in and keep your questions till then. However, this is our spring cleaning episode. So we were talking about pre-tax and after-tax money, but we also wanted to mention something with the qualifications on income. A lot of 401ks now have the Roth option, and it doesn't matter what your income is. Everyone goes, well, I make too much to fund a Roth, but not under the 401k. So as Mike was saying when we were on break here, log in, see what you're contributing to, and then make sure you're investing those funds.
I can't tell you how many times I've seen people say, well, I added money to my account, but it's still not doing anything. And then they look at their account and it's still in cash. You really need to make sure if it's an IRA or a Roth IRA and you're doing it yourself, well, making the contribution is great, but you also have to go in there and invest the money. And in a 401k, it's also not guaranteed. You should have an automatic contribution going into the market. Make sure that's happening. Just get in there, log in, and make sure you're in a good spot.
So just to add a little further on that too, when you open up a brokerage account with a Schwab, a TD, a Robinhood, whoever that might be, step number one is putting cash into that investment. That doesn't mean it's invested. That means you've opened an account, you've pulled money into, it's basically a basket where you can buy different things. And if this is getting confusing, potentially you might want to ask for help, okay? The same thing is with a 401k. When you go in, it says, how would you like to invest your money? Do you want to be growth? Do you want to be more conservative? What are you looking for? And then it will pick and choose different investments, or you can do it on your own. But step one is goes to cash, then you have to determine where it goes. With the 401k, once you set it up for future contributions, it does it automatically for you. It doesn't do that with brokerage accounts. You have to trigger a buy or a sell. So make sure you know that. There are some automated options out there, I know, but more than likely, you're going to have to trigger a buy every time you add money. Okay? Otherwise, it's going to sit there and you're going to look at it in 10 years and go, my money's never grown. Well, it wasn't invested. So make sure you take that extra step, okay? And there are different ways if your income is too high to do a backdoor Roth. I don't want to get into the weeds here, but understand there are ways to do that. Plus, one of the things I like to recommend to clients, if you've been doing pre-tax money in your 401k forever and you want some Roth and you're over 50, put the catch-up in the Roth. You won't notice a difference tax-wise. And it's a good way to get some Roth money built up.
Absolutely.
Okay? All right. So, as you can tell, we really like Roth. It still blows my mind. I've been doing this for 30 years. However, back in the, before they had Roth, people would retire and they would end up with a pile of pre-tax money, meaning that every dollar they took out had to be taxed before they could buy something. And we had a client that really had saved well, had plenty of money to meet their income, but they really wanted to take a little out to buy a second home, just give it a good down payment. And then they realized, because they had to pay tax on every dollar, that if they wanted to take out an additional 100, it was going to cost about 140 to do that. So they would take out another 40,000 just to get their 100. Even though they could afford it, they made a decision not to do that. If they had other assets to pull from, it may have changed that.
Yeah, that's a good example. And something else I always like to mention is, if you're married and you have a spouse that's working, you can contribute to a Roth yourself as well. It takes family income, not the individual's income. So if you think that you're not eligible, check the rules again. You might be.
Yeah, or just give someone a call. Sometimes it's way easier just to sit down and go over all this. Not pushing you towards us, but we love what we do. So it's really fun for us to dive in and just say, I like to say I look for holes in plans, right? So if someone's created their own plan, we look for something that we think potentially won't work. So we do look for red flags. We make suggestions. But a lot of times, if you're getting towards retirement, what we're going to try to do is blow up your plan. And if it doesn't blow up, you're in good shape.
And I'm kind of a nerd, and I love Excel, so I can't tell you how many times I go in and make projections to see where a client is tax-wise right now and where I anticipate them being the next 5 years, the next 10 years, and in retirement. Because we can move contributions around to maximize the value of that pre-tax versus Roth money.
And as you can say, hear from what he was saying, he doesn't predict what tax rates will be. He's trying to balance it out so that no matter what they are, you're covered.
Exactly.
All right. So it's a big deal. Also, this one I'm going to touch on because this is a really easy one before we have to take a break. Beneficiaries. It's a big deal. You can do so much with making sure the beneficiaries on your account are correct. Part of spring cleaning is going in, looking at all your investments, and making sure you have proper beneficiaries. And understand that beneficiaries override your will. We hear all the time people coming in and saying, my will says how I want to divide my money, so I don't have beneficiaries on my accounts. That's not a good idea. Again, we aren't attorneys here. I'm just telling you from issues that we've seen, that's a big deal.
Yeah, and a lot of times they are not added automatically to an account. You have to actually do it yourself. So if you want to be the one who decides what happens to your money, if the unfortunate were to happen, get in and do that and make sure it's right.
Yeah, and understand too, we've had situations where you get divorced and you forget to remove the spouse, or there's other things that come up, and you need to make sure you're checking all this, because it's hard enough if someone loses something, a spouse or a family member, and it's even worse if it's hard to settle that estate. So you give people peace if you're setting things up in advance. We don't see this a lot now, but we had clients that would keep stock certificates because they felt it was safe. They're cool to look at. One of my favorite things is to look at how beautiful old stock certificates are, but you don't want to keep them.
No, that is a long, drawn-out process that takes a long time. And I mean, something else I also see a lot is having multiple accounts at a number of different places. Well, if you were to pass away, the beneficiary needs to open an account at all the different custodians that you have money at. Mm-hmm. One scenario I actually saw recently was someone had 20 or 30 different accounts open. That would have been weeks, if not months, of nonstop work and paperwork to get those moved over.
And what if they can't find one, right? So make sure, we call it a love letter for a reason. Write out every single thing that you have, where the custodian is, who to contact, all of that information so that people can find it. You've worked hard for what you saved. You don't want it to get lost because you forget to make a note and someone doesn't know it exists. And plus, diversification is a very well used word. It doesn't mean with different advisors. Find someone that you really want to work with. They do a better job if they can see the full picture, first of all. Second, it's much easier if something happens for your heirs. Okay? So that's a big one, and we see it quite frequently. Good. All right, so another thing, this one I can touch on real quick, is when your kids turn 18, You can no longer make decisions for them medically without them giving you authority to do so. This is a big deal. You want to make sure that if something comes up and they need care, that you're there to take care of them. Very easy
Absolutely.
way, right? Isn't there a website?
Yeah, I believe there's a Idaho directive that you can get online and do for free. And I always say, when I was 18 years old, I don't know if I was always making the best decisions. So things happen, and you want to be the one making the decisions.
So, all right. So, just to recap, log into those 401ks. Make sure you're max putting in at least 10%. Let's do that. If you can't do 10, start with 5. And every year, I think you can even set it to do this automatically. Do the auto increase of 1%. You won't notice that one, and then you'll be at 10% before you know it. Start a put and take account to put away money for those emergencies. Go in, set up your contributions depending on what you feel you would like. At the end, I would like a 50-50 or 60 whatever for a Roth versus pre-tax, so you have more flexibility. Do that today. Get the money invested and make sure your beneficiaries are correct. I think that's so far what we've covered, right?
Yep, you got it.
All right, when we come back, we're going to have more tips for you, more spring cleaning, and don't forget, if you have questions during the week, go through our website, petsofinancial.com. Hello, welcome back to Money Matters. Jennifer Stone and Mike Gilson filling in for Dave Petso today. Again, I've said this multiple times, but clearly this is a recording. Dave will be back in the studio next week, and we'll welcome your phone calls at that time. We're doing our spring cleaning episode. I like to do this once a year. I like to do the New Year's resolution and end of year wrap up, but this is one of my favorite because it's really refreshing to clean and get everything in order. Well, getting your finances laid out in order is very refreshing too. So think of this as an opportunity before the kids are out for summer and you head off on vacation. To get everything lined out exactly the way that you want it to be so that your future is beautiful. All right, so let's talk about one of the worst topics I think there is for most people because it talks about impending death, I guess, life insurance.
Yeah, and the majority of people are underinsured, and it's something that can be a key missing part of a financial plan. So we just wanted to dig into how you should think about life insurance and where to go for it.
Yeah. And we're not proponents of permanent life insurance. I don't feel that insurance and investing play well together. I think they should be in separate playgrounds. And I feel that insurance should be for a term that you need it. As you grow wealth, you're not going to need to insure for certain things that you will when you're younger. Plus, we looked at the rates. Insurance when you're young is cheap because you're not going to die. That's pretty much it, right? Are very unlikely to die. Because insurance companies aren't charities. They're not out there trying to not make money. So if you can get a $500,000 policy for 20 years for $15, they're guessing you're healthy enough not to pass. However, if you are, there are certain things in life that you really want to insure for. One is to pay off your home, one to raise your children and get them off and on to college, and income. One of the things you forget is if one of you is a higher earner than the other, that's an insurable need because you need that income to get by.
Yeah, you want to look out for your spouse and your family, and you can't turn a blind eye to that just in case, because there is a small percentage chance that something will happen and you need to protect them.
You do. And paying off debt gives freedom. You know, and I know people say, well, my house is worth X amount. If we had to sell, we'd be fine. But do you want to have to make that decision? And that's what life insurance does, is it gives people time to decide. And maybe you won't want to keep an expensive home. Maybe there are other things that you don't need, but having the ability to not be forced into a decision because financially you're struggling is a really big gift for people.
Absolutely. And not leaving those debts for someone else to pay, whether you're in a one income or a two income household, if you lose 50% of your income, making those payments like you normally do would be extremely difficult. If you're in a one income household and a spouse is taking care of the kids, well, someone has to take care of them. That's another expense that you need to plan for if something were to happen.
Because a lot of times we'll hear the spouses taking care of the kids say, well, I don't add anything financially right now. I don't need insurance. We'll find great care so that your other spouse can work is expensive. So you do have an insurable need. There are a lot of areas where you look and you say, I want to have insurance to cover my mortgage. Perfect. But then what if the mortgage is paid off, but you don't have expense or money to make the expenses to keep the mortgage? So, but again, I'm going back to this term. There are points in life when you'll be able to not have to pay for insurance. So getting the cheapest possible coverage for the time you need it is almost always the best option. A lot of employers offer it through your work as a benefit, but we want to talk about that a little bit too, because yes, you can get it there. It's probably fairly cheap. However, there are other things that apply to the employer plan.
Right. I always look at an employer plan and say, you're tying both your paycheck and life insurance to one company. If something were to happen and you were to get laid off or leave the company, all of a sudden you lose that life insurance.
Yeah. Also, I always like to call it swimming in a dirty pool. There's no health check to get in the group plan. You just get thrown in the group. If you're out running Roby like Mike and you take care of yourself, you eat well, you're a very healthy person, is it better for him to jump into an employer plan or for him to self-insure? Most of the time, self.
Definitely self-insured for me. It makes a lot more sense to just go to and look at term life insurance rates and find a longer term, because I'm younger, policy.
Yeah. So look at that. It's important. You want to take care of your family. Speaking of families, this goes right into 529 plans, right?
I love 529 plans.
They're awesome.
If you want to help your kids with college or your grandkids with college expenses or even private school expenses potentially, 529 plans are a great place to put that money, because you get tax deferred growth, and you can actually get a state tax deduction potentially if you're living in the state of Idaho and using the state of Idaho plan.
And we're going to just talk about the ideal plan with the state, because that's the one we know really well. If you have them with other states, well, you're going to have to look up the rules there, but we're going to talk about Idaho, okay? It's a great plan. It's a very easy website. You do not open those through financial advisors. You go directly to idsaves.org and you open the account. You can link your bank. You can put money in. You can direct them to pay tuition. It's extremely flexible. And the options are good now. They use, I believe, Vanguard for their fund choices.
Yeah, absolutely. You can be in a target date where it gets less risky as the kid gets older and closer to going to school. Or you can choose whether you want a high-risk plan.
And the thing that they just did, because I've talked to multiple families that always say the same thing, what if my kid doesn't go to college? Or what if I don't want them to be tied to having to go to college? Well, first of all, there's technical school. So if they decide they want to go and become a cosmetologist, or if they want to become an auto mechanic, or if they want to do something on the technical side, you can use those funds. The only rule is it does have to be qualifying for FAFSA. So you have to go through and have to be able to accept government funds. I don't know why that is, but we did have someone that was taking private lessons to become a DJ or something, and it wouldn't cover that. So there are rules and there are regulations on this too. And then the cool thing that just happened was there's availability to move what's left to Ross.
Yes. I have a few friends who have young kids, and we've talked about it. What is college going to look like in 18 years from now? I have no idea. Something feels like fundamentally it has to change in terms of that cost structure, but I don't know what it's going to look like. So could they potentially be overfunding a 529 plan for their kid? Absolutely. But this new rule means if you overfund it by a little bit, you're just helping them start their retirement plan a little bit early.
Absolutely. And again, there are a lot of rules that we don't want to get into with this. It gets really, really weedy. But understand that as long as the funds have been there, I think it's 15 years, you can use the funds to contribute. I don't want to get into that. I just want to let you know that there are a lot of ways to use those 529 funds that potentially should not change and make you not want to do them. Because that's what everyone always says is, well, what if this bad thing happens? Or what if worst case scenario this happens? There's a lot of best case now.
Yeah. And even if you have multiple children and the first one does not go to college or technical school, you can use that 529 plan for your other children instead. It's not locked into just one individual.
Beneficiary changes can even be done to grandkids. It can even be done to your, if you decide you want to go and get a master's, you can change it all over so that that funds happen. Plus, there's still that option for Roth IRAs. And I don't know if I can say Roth more today than we have, but as you can tell, we just love Roth IRAs. They're amazing for people, and if you can have one, you should be funding them. All right, we got to take another break, and I think this is our last one of the show. So we look forward to coming back. We have a lot more housekeeping, but I also want to touch on some retirement planning because, you know, that's part of this. What am I saving for? I always think about that when you're going through the process of beginning to invest and save. You have to have a plan for the money. What is it for? A lot of people don't know. When they get towards retirement, they've saved piles and they're ready to get there, but they don't know what to do. So how do you start planning on what does retirement look like for me? We'll be right back. Hello, welcome back to Money Matters. This is our last segment. It's gone very quick.
Very quick.
I'm Jennifer Stone, Mike Gilson. We're CFPs with Petso Financial. I've been here a lot of times. I think this is your first show, right?
Second show.
Okay.
I think I've been with Petso Financial for 3 years now, so I'll have to be on a little bit more.
And the next time he's on, he's going to be live so that he can answer questions when you call in. This is a recording. We will be back live next week. But it's really good to have some time to just dive into the basics, housekeeping, all that stuff that we all need to do as great investors. One of them that we didn't touch on, but we need to real quick, is required minimum distributions. These are huge rules. Yes, they've reduced the penalty that if you underdo from 50 to 25, but I don't want to give the government 25% more. So make sure you understand those rules. If you're age 73, you're forced to take a distribution based on two things. One is the year-ending value of your IRAs, your life expectancy, and there's a factor that they assign from that to determine it.
Yep, and if you're unsure of what that amount is, call the company. They have that amount for you. They will let you know how much you need to take from the account in that year.
And another reason to consolidate is if you have multiple IRAs, not qualified plans, that falls under another category, but individual retirement accounts, you can total them up and take them from one, but you have to remember to take the right amount. Qualified plans stand alone and you have to take it separately from there. So there's a lot of rules, again, that fall under this. I don't understand why they have to continue to make it more and more complicated, because as we get older, we want less complexity in our lives, but they change the year you have to take it, how old you are, how your heirs take the distribution is now over 10 years, unless you're a spouse. And I just sit there and think about all the issues we have right now going on in the world, and they continue to change the rules on this.
It's pretty unbelievable. And so if you're a listener right now and you are 73 or turning 73 this year or older, just keep that in the back of your mind. I need to take money out of that account, and that money will be taxable as income. There are some ways to not pay the taxes on it by gifting it to qualified charities, but talk to your tax accountant about doing that.
Yes, and because it has to be done right. If you put the money in your pocket and then give it, it's not qualified. You have to directly give. Make sure you know the rules and that you're tracking that as well, because we had this question, I don't know how many times this year, my 1099-R, which is the tax form from your IRA, does not show that I gave money to charity. It never will. 1099-Rs just show money taken out of an IRA, because no custodian is going to take the responsibility for determining whether the charity was qualified or not. You need to document that. You need to give the receipts to your accountant and make sure that you're getting credit, because if you don't tell them, they're not going to give it to you. Okay? Make sure you're doing that. All right, I just want to spend a couple minutes, and this is such a large topic that Mike and I will address hopefully the next time we do this. And now it's looking towards retirement. We cover all the stuff. Now, how do you retire? It's such a complex thing because we save for this. It's almost there. And I'm dealing with this a lot now. We have a lot of my brother's 2 years from retirement. I have other people I know that are potentially thinking about it. This felt like to me a lifetime from now. And now it's right there. And what I worry about is, what are you going to spend your time with? Now what?
Yeah, what's the next step? What are you retiring into? Mm-hmm. How much am I going to be spending? Mm-hmm. What am I, do I have expenses that I need to get away with while I'm still working? Because it's going to be hard to buy that RV in retirement. You want to do that while you're still working.
And then also, what is it? I mean, what do I want to do? Like when Mike said, retiring into what, right? Because if you think about what life looks like, the next phase, you've filled your life with work. You've saved, you've had structure, you've had goals. Now you have ultimate freedom. We laugh when we say, yeah, everything takes longer in retirement, right? Because you don't have a deadline to get it done. So then you start to think, all right, I'm here. I've made it. Now what do I do? Because you can't play golf every day.
No, we have a lot of clients who, they love golf, they love fishing, but when they do it every single day, they stop loving it quite as much. Mm-hmm. Volunteering is another big one. Being responsible for something keeps you on track, keeps you on schedule. Even part-time work, if you enjoy it, if you're a fisherman and you love fly fishing, working at a shop and interacting with other people, that could be enjoyment.
We have to have a purpose, right? You have to have something that you find fulfillment in. And that's why retirement is such a bigger picture than the numbers. We can dive into this and we can tell you what we think you need to save and how to get there. However, sitting down with and without, and I do suggest this all the time, sit down with your significant other, your spouse, who you're going to spend your retirement years with after you make a list of what your desires are. It's kind of cute. I had one person when I said dream big, he wrote down, pay taxes, make sure my lights stay on, be able to afford gas and food. She wrote down, travel to Europe, see the world, experience things that I never could have before. And it was interesting that they did not know that his worries were making sure the needs were taken care of. And she wanted to just enjoy life. So do it separately, because I know I've been with my husband since I was 17 years old. We got married really young. We think a lot alike. It blows our minds sometimes how we both go, oh yeah, I was thinking the same thing. However, when you get to retirement, sitting down and saying, I want to go to Italy. I want to build a cabin in the mountains. I don't know. I'm just throwing ideas around. But coming together after is really fun. So that's what I encourage people to do. And also, don't retire and then come meet with an advisor.
Yeah. I think the best time to retire is after making a financial plan and making sure that your goals and needs are going to be able to be met. I think one huge mistake that we see pretty often is somebody takes Social Security early, retires, and then doesn't have enough income to live comfortably in retirement.
Social Security is a really one of those that you should plan properly. Just because you're able to draw it doesn't mean you should. There's ways to let it grow, and it does grow quite a bit. It's 8% per year when you defer plus cost of living. The market should on average do that, but there's no guarantee. So maximizing every income source that's available to you is very important.
Yeah, when you retire, it's much harder to go back to work than staying at your current job.
And at the end of your career, normally that's the pinnacle, right? You're making the most, you're in charge of the most, you're doing really well. So also going back to a job that pays like that versus what you could just extend for a couple more years. And I know it feels like a couple years is gonna be forever. I swear to you, I hired Mike yesterday. He's been here 3 years. That's how quick time goes. 3 years goes in a blink. So don't feel like just because you've reached a certain age that that's it, you should be done. I have clients that say, I can take Social Security now, I'm done. But what are you doing? Well, I love my job. Then don't quit.
Yeah, the last thing you wanna do is have all that free time on your hands and then use it just sitting in front of your TV watching news all day.
That brings joy. We know that, right? We talk about unplugging from that TV and getting out and doing stuff. Being around people. I know you may say, I'm totally fine sitting at my house and gardening. That's what I enjoy doing. You need to have interaction with humans. We are social creatures. I love to come in the office and talk investments and talk about different clients and different experiences that we've had. If I didn't get to do that every day, my purpose would be totally diminished. Doesn't mean you're not valuable. It just means that it would have, what would your purpose be? And reading books all day or doing something that you don't get out and socialize doesn't make you comfortable. Right? All right. So I think we covered everything that I could think of in a short amount of time, because I tell you, this hour goes so quick. We always have so much to talk about. But if there's any topics that you would like us to discuss or you felt that we didn't cover clearly, reach out.
Yeah, that's why we're here. Going back to the beginning, right? What we're here to do is educate, and we want to help people. We want to see people realize their goals, and we want you to understand this material. You don't have to be an expert in it, but having a basic understanding is very important.
Mm-hmm. It really is. I did have a great conversation again with that building of a foundation. The client I spoke to had no desire to be an expert. She didn't. She really wants to just understand that if she has to take over, that she knows what a Roth is and why we have them. Why do I have pre-tax money? What about savings? Do I need to save in retirement? So going through all of those topics that never had to be focused on because it wasn't part of what you did, you need to know the basics. There's no excuse to not know something about your investments.
Yeah. And if it's not your world, that's why we're here, to educate. There are no stupid questions. Most people don't learn this in school. They don't learn it in college. That we just set off on life with almost no understanding of finance. So don't feel like you can't talk to someone about it. You can.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to end it with this. Mike, it was great having you. This is wonderful. I'm glad we were able to do this. Next time you'll be here live.
Correct.
All right. So again, if you need something from us, let us know. Dave will be back next week. I know he'll want your call, so call him. And we'll look forward to hearing from you next time. Everyone have a wonderful weekend. And thank you again for listening to our program. It's a joy to be here.